It's a bird! It's a plane! It's
underoos!
Great Minerva! It's a real change of underwear.
Wearing underoos is fun!
And you can choose from more than one.
There's Wonder Woman.
And Shazam! There's Aquaman!
There's Spider-Man!
Underoos are fun to wear! Yeah, something super new in underwear!
You can buy underoos where you buy underwear. It's underwear that is underwear.
Once was a little green slab of clay, Gumby. You should see what Gumby can do today, Gumby. He can walk into any book with his pony pal Pokey-Doo. If you've got a heart, then Gumby's a part of you.
I just wanted to start this episode with one of the wonderful theme songs from a strange, strange show called Gumby. And the reason I wanted to start out with a Frank Sinatra crooner version of Gumby...
Jennifer just threw her panties at you.
...is because one of the...
I hit his eye.
Yes.
Oh, you put my eye out!
Who was the guy, the crooner, the big crooner?
Frank Sinatra?
No, the other guy.
Dean Martin? No. Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby.
That reminds me of Conan. It's me.
Oh, yeah. They have a crooner character. Anyway, go ahead.
Awesome. One of the things we're going to be talking about in this episode of The Action Room later on in the show is something very fascinating about a theme song from a beloved cartoon from our childhood. And I thought, what's another weird, sort of obscure, but also well-known cartoon that had a weird theme song that was endearing but weird at the same time? And it was Gumby. So that was my very own, what if Frank Sinatra or a crooner sang Gumby to start out this show. I always try to think of weird ways, ways to start the show.
It was good.
I don't know if maybe clever is too self-congratulatory. How about just different?
No, but you have a good voice, and Gumby is a great show.
It was.
Gumby was weird, though.
And the part, the Gumby that I remember as well is Eddie Murphy doing Gumby.
On Saturday Night Live.
I'm Gumby, damn it!
Totally awesome. So, once again, thank you for returning to The Action Room. I am your co-host, Tony Wolf.
The Ye Goddess.
Producer Mike.
And that's all of us here in The Action Room. Mm-hmm. We'll also have a very special guest later in the show, a friend of the show named Kim Rogers, who is going to be our whip-smart, super-awesome movie review correspondent.
She would be Miss Rogers.
Miss Rogers.
Neighborhood, we should call it
and
that.
And she's a good friend of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh. And let's bring it back to the geek. What do they call Spider-Man? Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Oh.
That's amazing.
I can't think of any
You're
other
a
things.
Genius.
I can't think of any other things that reference neighborhood, can you?
No. Nay.
Nay.
Mr. Ed. All right. So, of course, we are The Action Room. We are Geek Culture Radio. We've got new shows every Monday and Friday at the top of the morning. Join us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can always download our show, or you can just listen to it directly on our site by clicking the very easy to understand click and listen on our site.
Yeah, people don't seem to understand that. Like, as much as you force them to do this, they will find any way to not listen to something on the internet. But speaking of Twitter, some exciting Twitter news. Tony has been Twittering, and I have to just congratulate Twitter.
Tony.
Tony should be your new name. Let me just congratulate Tony on doing an incredible job at being the social butterfly that you need to be to really make a difference.
To promote anything.
Yeah, in this social world we live in.
Thank you. I've been working the Twitter 24/7 since we first opened, and I've been learning about the Twitter world. We had Mr. Kevin Smith tweeted to us today. I was thinking about an older comic he did, not that old, but his Green Arrow run, which was I think it's the best comic that Kevin Smith has ever written in his comic writing career. I know he wrote Daredevil that Joe Quesada illustrated, but my personal favorite is his Green Arrow run. And he incorporated a very weird thing where there are these old cartoon, almost like Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin and Hobbes type cartoon comic strip characters called Stanley and His Monster, which was a DC comic in the 50s. And Kevin Smith found a way to incorporate a dark, grown-up, almost like horror movie superhero Stanley and his monster about 10 issues into the run. And I was just like, one day I was just, this is my life. One day I'm walking around my apartment and I'm like, that was fucking brilliant that he incorporated Stanley and his monster, because it came out of nowhere. No one, comic fans know Stanley and his monster, but no one thought of that character. So I wrote to Kevin Smith and I was like, you know what? Your Green Arrow run was really great because that brilliant Stanley and his monster idea, it was just so awesome. And he wrote back and he said, you can see it on our Action Room page, but he said, thanks. He said, Stanley's character arc in Green Arrow mirrored God's arc in Dogma. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm remembering off the top of my head, because this just happened this afternoon, Stanley wanted to be, he was immortal and wanted to be mortal, or he wanted to sort of alter his consciousness somehow, and producer Mike was remembering more about Dogma.
Well, just that, did you see Dogma, Jennifer? That's a great movie. But
Alanis Morissette plays God.
Yeah.
And she's awesome.
But God in the first, to come, he likes to come to the New Jersey shore, I think it is, to play skeet ball or something, and I told Tony to turn off his phone. His new phone, he still hasn't figured out.
I did turn it off. I'm so confused.
Yeah,
please continue.
He's been calling me like several times today without just his ass.
I got this new, it's a Sprint version of an iPhone, and I don't know how to use it yet, so it's randomly calling like all these people.
Anyway, so God in Dogma comes to the Jersey Shore. He likes to become human and play skeet ball. I think that's the...
Skee ball.
Skee ball.
Yes.
And
skeet ball.
Skeet Ulrich ball. And, and so, but then they kill him, or they try to kill him, and they leave him in a suspended state, so he's like on life support, so he can't become God again. So it's an interesting point, and I guess that has to do somewhat with this
with
character.
What Stanley the monster wanted to do. So anyway,
it
was very cool, and also, you know, last week Scott Snyder, the co-writer of American Vampire with Stephen King, tweeted to us quite a bit, and he engaged us in conversation about the points we talked about on our show about vampires.
So the point is, people are listening.
Yeah.
Besides my mom.
Yeah.
And
Amber Benson, you know, tweeted
your
something.
Your mom's listening?
Yeah. I got all the time.
Is she a geek? Because she got you that Transformers ring.
Oh, no. She's not a geek.
She's not.
She's a lover of her daughter.
She's a lover
right.
of me, right. And supports me.
Who happens to be
me
a
things.
Geek. Yeah. Okay.
I'm a lover, not a fighter, Paul.
Remember that? Michael Jackson in the Say 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 video?
Vaguely, yeah.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
You want to sing
anyway.
Another? I think you want to sing
no,
another
No, I don't.
Song.
Go
say,
ahead.
Say, say,
I think
say
it,
what
a,
you want.
On a previous show, you did sing Say Say Say. I
really?
Think, I think so.
Oh, yeah, because I sang the All Alone, I Sit Home by the Phone, waiting for you. All right, anyway.
Yeah. I was actually listening to all Michael Jackson before I got here, so.
Oh, really?
Got to reminisce.
There's a synchronicity.
Yeah,
Michael
really.
Michael is
you
with us here
mind.
In the Action Room.
Tony reads your iPod.
He does.
Okay,
so anyway, we're just talking about Twitter.
I think we're done, though.
We're excited. We also broke 100 followers last week. Now we're at 140.
And we broke, I think, 1,000 tweets.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
That's because I do it all day at my job.
You have a problem. Okay, so let's move on and let's go to the break. And when we're back, we're going to have Kim Gordon. Kim Gordon. That's the bassist.
Who's Kim Gordon?
That's the bassist from Sonic Youth. Kim
Rogers.
Kim Rogers.
You got to leave that in, though. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, we'll be back. All right, Action fans, we are back in the Action Room. Thank you for coming back with us. Now we've got a very special guest on the show, our very first specialized movie correspondent. This is Kim Rogers. Thank you for joining us in the Action Room, Kim.
Thank you for having me.
Kim Rogers! Kim is an old friend and has recently become a real friend of the show and a big fan of the show, and I thought... Kim is
recently, very recently. Like
recently,
I just met her like 5 minutes ago.
1.8. No. 1.8
like
days ago.
I like her already.
Kim is, I know, to be a very sharp-witted, feisty, energetic, intelligent person who is a true pop culture lover.
Don't build me up too much.
And I don't know, Kim, would you consider yourself a geek? You're sort of a geek, but you're like a mainstream non-comic book geek.
Yeah, I would definitely consider myself a specialized geek. Okay. I'm very geeky about specialized things. Yeah,
now, Kim, you work at a Broadway theater or organization.
I work for the Union for Broadway Directors and Choreographers. So right. I'm a theater geek. I'm a movie geek. I'm a TV geek. Yeah.
And she really
like
is.
Pop culture.
Like truly a TV and
like
movie
a Broadway
geek.
Geek?
Yeah, I'm
me
a Broadway
too,
geek.
Me too. You talk like you know a lot about theater.
So Kim is here to give her first movie review of what I hope will be many movie reviews. So Kim saw The Runaways. Now, this is actually good because I have not seen this movie at all, nor has Geek Goddess Jenny.
So for one second, we won't hear Tony talk.
I'm joking.
So give me your review to someone who doesn't know anything about
this. For me, you know what you're going to get in the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Okay.
Because the way it opens, I was like, was that necessary? Because it opens, like, close-up of a sidewalk, and, I mean, this is going to be gross, just warning you.
It's okay, we're on the internet.
I don't know if I want to know.
It opens with, like, a splash of red on a sidewalk, and then pans up to Dakota Fanning. You do the math of what just happened.
Okay.
She just got her visitor.
Yeah, her first
monthly female.
Her monthly friend.
I'm like, she died?
Jennifer is just staring blankly.
I actually thought she had an abortion on the sidewalk.
You could think of like that so many ways.
And I was like, what?
Well, no, it's very clear.
It is.
I was like, what? Like drips? What is the point? Yes, drips. And then they're
running
to the bathroom and changing underwear with her sister. And I was like, was this the only reason I think they did it? Maybe it's to establish her age.
Right.
And I was like, it's completely gratuitous and pointless.
This film is going to be all about women. Nothing else but women.
And
the thing is, now I'll just add this one thing about the opening moments there, because I was with a female seeing it, and she didn't know originally going in that it was written and directed by a woman.
Yeah.
But she could tell just from the way it was shot that it was a female. And I tend to think that this is true with women directors and stuff, is that they use a lot of close-ups, and there's definitely a particular way their attention to detail in certain ways is very different from how men look at things.
Well, that's not true though with The Hurt Locker, because that's a really masculine film, and it's directed by a woman. And nobody would have thought
that she paid close attention to the details.
Yeah, I haven't seen
Hurt
Locker.
But
it's still very, strong and masculine. You know?
And it's not to say that it's not masculine, because this movie is actually pretty,
dark,
dominant and masculine. And not even dark, but just, like, it kicks ass.
Well,
but
for me, I kind of found it strange that it was directed by a woman, because to me, a lot of it felt very exploitive,
but the subject was. Who is the writer-director, just so we know?
I forget her name. I don't know.
It's something crazy, and it starts. It's like Fiona something.
So she's not someone we've heard from a lot before.
No. She wrote the script too, and they adapted it from Cherie Curry's autobiography.
Right.
Which is again why I kind of have a problem with it being called The Runaways, because it focuses on Cherie Curry and Joan Jett. There were three other girls in the band that we hear nothing from the entire time.
They couldn't even get the stories. What are they called? The rights to their...
To me, too, I thought the movie sacrificed a lot of details and a lot of depth for shock value things. Like, it's very sex, drugs, and rock and roll with a lot of drugs and a lot of sex and not much depth. And so really, you're like, I don't really care. Mm. And all of a sudden, it seems like they all go downhill, and Cherie Curry is a drug addict and
a diva. You always hear that with bands.
Yeah.
They're always dabbling drugs.
All of a sudden seems to go there, and I was like, oh, you just skimmed over everything, and now they're breaking up, and, spoiler alert, but that's...
they're not still together.
No, they're not still together. They broke up, and she was addicted to drugs, and then, it jumps... X number of years in the future, and you're like, what? What's going on?
Is it like Titanic? Does Kristen Stewart play a 90-year-old Joan Jett?
No, but the thing is, I have to say, I have to say, I did actually enjoy it. I liked it a lot. I thought that in terms of, like, there was another movie recently that came out that was very chick, chick power, I guess, Drew Barrymore directed The Whip It.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that was a movie that didn't succeed in terms of, like, what this did. It skipped over a lot of things. And then I heard that in the deleted scenes, they actually didn't use a lot of the scenes that would have helped the storyline in Whip It. I could see that, you know, because I was missing a lot. With The Runaways, though, even though it's a very simple story and they were only together for a short amount of time, I think it actually focused on all the right stuff. And the funniest thing I have to add, and this is what we'll get into next, I think as far as like the audience we went to see it with,
mm-hmm.
I saw it almost, not almost all, but a lot of lesbians were in the audience.
Well, that movie is very lesbian friendly.
Oh, yeah. Now, the one thing that I always think is funny is when girls are like, yeah, you know, but it's not even so much girls being girls, it's girls being men, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the whole thing is we were sitting
are there lesbian things in the movie?
Yes,
or is it just
because Joan and Gary have, even though they say they were just experimenting,
okay,
but, you know.
Well, I think I might be wrong, but is Curry even a lesbian?
I don't think so. I mean,
because it seems like the only ones that last were the lesbians. The Joan Jett, you know, they're strong people.
Well,
are the lesbians.
They don't care about anything, you know.
They don't care about having balls, you know. Right. It's like, and that was kind of what
and
it
therefore
was about.
They have balls.
Yeah,
they don't give a shit.
Well, I mean, because there's a whole scene where they like teach Cherie how to have balls. And
you feel like throughout the whole movie, which is probably the way it went and why she left the band, was that they were always trying to kind of drag her through this. You know, she didn't actually want to do that. As far as the Runaways are concerned, as far as the audience is concerned, so right next to me were like this trio of bull dykes, right?
Nice.
Okay?
Nice.
And they were like cheering throughout the whole thing,
aww,
right? And the funniest thing was listening to them afterward, because we watched the credits and we were listening to them. And
standing
they, yeah, right? They must have been in a band or something together. And so they were saying things like, they started something, we got to finish it. You know, and like
it's like, a bar fight.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
No,
brilliant.
No, like, you know, they started the whole woman, because they were the first female.
I mean, they did start it. They,
rock band.
I mean, and it's
really?
Even established in the beginning that Joan is trying to buy a men's leather jacket, and the woman in the store is like, the women's section is over there, and, you know,
that's
she buys
cool.
it anyway, and she wants to play electric guitar, and she's told that,
so like
they were
that.
The
guys
first?
Don't play electric guitar.
Who cares?
And, you know, and.
Yeah,
because
I knew of them, but I didn't realize they were the first.
They were the
female
first ones,
really,
in an era of David Bowie and the Sex Pistols, and
all
these other
and
people.
And even before, because they were not before David Bowie, but they were before the whole punk movement.
Oh
really,
yeah,
you know?
Really?
They
yeah.
were ahead of their time. I think if they had come out maybe a few years later, they would have more respect. They get a lot of respect now retrospectively,
right.
But when they were out, they were very much viewed as a prefab monkeys. Kind of group, you know, a group put together specifically for all these elements.
I grew up in a town called Rockville Center, New York. In around 1986, Joan Jett bought a house in my hometown.
Wow.
And lived in my hometown at this gorgeous, almost mansion right next to a golf course. And we never saw her, but we were like, that's Joan Jett's house. And I don't think she was in the house that often, but it was just like, Joan Jett moved to our town!
To think she was in there. With a strap on, it's just
yeah.
amazing.
Well, and Kristen Stewart looks uncannily like her too.
Really?
Like it is good casting.
Yeah.
I will say that, even
and
if she's not have the acting chops.
Right. Well, you
got
to give her some credit for
it.
Trying to do something outside of Twilight, because
totally.
She knows it's almost like Robert Pattinson did that Vincent Van Gogh movie.
Yeah,
and
Remember
else.
Me.
Well, she always
came
has
out.
That kind of like face where it's like,
oh no. Don't get me wrong.
Right? Like,
I never
like,
believe
oh.
a word that comes out of her mouth. Like she for me as an actress lacks commitment to what she's doing. And so when she goes on her tirade toward kind of the end of the movie, I was like, I don't really believe you. You
really?
Know, in a better actress's hands.
Right, right.
What did you mean that she has a face?
She's like kind of like always. She looks depressed and
she
sad.
Looks like indifferent or
all
mopey.
The time. And this is even without acting.
Yeah, she,
oh, when
she
was
like
on
that.
The Academy Award,
yeah.
she was like,
miserable.
I would rather be anywhere else. Than here right now.
Right.
You look like that at the Oscars. Like, I've been thrust into this life of glamour, whatever.
Yeah, it just doesn't like, seem confident, yeah. which is why when I heard she was going to play Joan Jett, I was like, how can she play Joan Jett? Although when I saw older things of Joan Jett, interviews and stuff, she really was a little girl, and she actually was a lot more like Kristen Stewart is.
Huh.
Yeah.
So I actually thought she did a good... But I understand. I agree with you. She's not the best actress, for sure.
I mean, like I said, it's definitely the best I've seen her do since Panic Room, when she was Jodie
right.
Foster
well,
as a little kid.
Right,
you know?
When she was casted in Twilight, I go, oh, hopefully she'll make the film, because
oh,
the
no.
fact that she's the only
I
one that's really done any acting.
I embarrassed to be in Twilight. That's
oh, yeah.
the vibe I get from her.
Yeah, but if it was
I'm
a Twilight, she would
have... a millionaire.
Well, I'm like, yes, you wouldn't have a career without it.
It also proves that with a better film, better director and stuff, the Twilight movies could be so much better.
Well,
and
they're hoping to
have
that, right?
Have you heard that they've who they're considering for Breaking Dawn?
No.
Sofia Coppola.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Gus Van Sant.
Oh,
and
no
Bill Condon are the names that
they
are
offered
being
it to
banded,
Sophia.
Yeah.
They offered it to Sofia Coppola already.
Yeah.
And what happened? And she still hasn't yet.
They haven't decided. But
who's
those
Bill
are
Condon? I know that name.
Dreamgirls.
He?
And he Gods and Monsters. He wrote the script
right.
for that.
Well,
he
wait
wrote the script for Chicago.
Final thoughts on the Runaways film.
One final thought about the audience who I saw it with, because I had some twihards in my audience.
You did not see it with lesbians.
No, yeah. I did not see it with lesbians. I saw it with teenage girls who, when Joan was cursing and going off, they were like, Bella, no!
They said that.
And they said
I was
wow.
like, oh my God.
I know,
God.
I was just
going
to say.
So embarrassing. I said some things like that in the first
I was like,
movie.
She's not Bella, come on.
No, but I was just going to say, any girl who likes her in those movies that sees this would probably be just scarred for life.
Yeah.
Cause she
or
does so
or
many
would
things.
Become cool.
Maybe
you
become
know?
Cool.
Yeah, no, yeah. I just, some of the visuals I just thought were really cool. I thought it was well paced and well directed. I dug it.
So is it a see it or a not see it?
I give it a meh.
A meh?
A meh?
That's a good category. I like that.
I mean,
no,
we
rate things here by bras.
I don't necessarily feel like I wasted my afternoon, but it's not one that I would be like, oh my God, you have
right.
to see this, or that I'm like, I have to buy this on DVD as
so
soon as
like
it comes out.
So it's like a thumb
out.
Up, thumb down?
So wait.
Yeah.
Let's figure out your rating system.
Yeah.
So if it's good, what would that be? If it's great, if it's a great film, what's the top?
Like comparing it to another movie?
Like no, you
using
had,
an image,
you had
like
meh.
A metaphor.
You had meh,
no,
yeah.
You had meh as the middle range,
okay.
I guess.
If meh is middle, what's like thumbs up?
Oh my God.
Okay, so that's the
OMG.
OMG.
OMG. And then
I guess if we're gonna speak in text lingo, then if I hated it, it'd be WTF.
Okay.
I like that. Everyone has their own rating system.
You know, but no, I very much like. I don't feel like I wasted my time. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't tell you to run out and go see it if you.
But
like,
it didn't make you. It didn't make you vomit.
You wouldn't tell people to run away.
Correct.
Or run and go see it, right?
Yeah, no.
Right.
Do whatever.
All right. So on that note, thank you so much, Kim Rogers.
Yeah,
thank you.
Now, please come again. What's your next film that you're going to...
Well, the next one in theaters, I think for me, is definitely Clash of the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
April
when is
2nd.
That? That's like
April
2nd. That's next week?
Not this week, but not this coming Friday, but
holy
the
shit.
Next Friday, Easter weekend.
I'm excited about that because I saw the original in the movie theaters.
Me too.
Yeah,
I didn't
it.
See it in the movie theaters.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My mom loved
quick,
it.
Quick, I'm not that old. But
I
did.
I'm not that old.
I like anything with Greek mythology
and, it's Sam
and all that.
Yum.
I did see it in the theaters. And I had the action figures. Okay, so I'm that old.
You one-upped me in geekdom there, Producer Mike. All right, so thank you very much, Kim Rogers.
Thank you.
We'll take a short break, and when we come back, the Nerd News. All right, so once again, thank you to Kim Rogers for that excellent review and discussion of The Runaways.
Now, there's a reason why we came in from the Thundercats intro, okay?
Yes.
But we're not going to talk about that until... This is the most mind-blowing news I've ever heard in my entire life.
And it just hit the net maybe 2 days ago, 1 day ago.
And we'll talk about that in a bit. But first, let's talk a little bit... Well, you know, I don't know how long this is going to go on for, but this
we'll
casting
see.
News... For Captain America, it's ongoing.
Do we play the Nerd News thing already?
Oh, I forgot. We have to play Nerd News. Okay, go ahead.
Let's play it.
Nerd News.
All right. Anyway, the casting news for Captain America. Now, we've been back and forth.
Yeah.
Ryan Philippe, is that how you say it?
Yeah. It seems like he's mostly out of the running. I don't hear his name anymore.
I call him Reese Witherspoon's ex-husband.
Right.
Well, and he is.
And I think most of Hollywood does, too, because
right?
I haven't seen him
in anything.
He's
also a fine actor, though. He's a good actor. Gosford Park.
I think he's the best actor that's been picked of all these people to be cast in it, but I just don't think he wants to do it, and plus, it doesn't seem like he's going to do it.
He's also a little short. Although he was my pick, I think he's short. short, and you don't want Cap to be short. So Channing Tatum was also talked about quite a bit.
Well, Channing Tatum and Chris Evans, who is too small, I think, to play the role.
Small, you mean physically?
Yeah, yeah.
What if they bulk him up a lot?
No, mind. His mind is...
Christopher Reeve, even though I don't think Chris Evans is right for the role, Christopher Reeve was as skinny as me, practically, when he got the Superman, and they bulked him up.
Yeah, bulked up, but I mean, he has to be big. Yeah. I mean, he's Captain America.
Work out. I'm sorry. I think Chris Evans... he made the Fantastic Four movie.
Well, I agree.
He did, but he was...
But that's different. Not the right role.
He has to own Robert Downey Jr., the guy, the Thor guy.
They offered it to him, so even if you guys don't like it or not, and he accepts it, he's going to be Captain America.
I know.
This is true. But we're just discussing the qualities he has as an actor and what he's played
of all the people cast. I mean, look, there's not a one that we can say, okay, he'd be perfect, because everybody has some weaknesses here. I just don't think he's right. He's just not big enough.
He also has a vibe that's like player, party boy, club guy. And that's not Captain America. Now, what if I am an actor and I'm open to what if he's a good enough actor that he can transform and be this very rigid, noble soldier?
Here's
who's
my other
not like, hey, I hate chicks. He looks too much like he should be on Entourage.
Yeah,
Chris Evans.
He was perfect for the Torch, but
he was perfect for Johnny Storm. I thought he was one of the best parts of that movie.
Let me ask you a question, because you know about. Okay, how old is Captain America supposed to be?
He should be like mid-20s, early 30s.
He should be, as your voice breaks.
I've been yelling and singing all day today. I know they can skew him a little young because it's a movie and whatever.
No, but I mean, he in comparison to Robert Downey, is that all right? Does that make sense?
Cap should be just north of 30 or 30-ish.
Okay.
Or he could be 35, but needs to look 30. I mean, obviously...
But he is younger than...
He's not really supposed... I mean, RDJ is a weird thing. RDJ is perfect for Iron Man, but it's a little unusual that RDJ is, what, 47 or something?
Right.
But RDJ looks young for his age. In the comics, Tony Stark and Captain America should be roughly the same age, but I don't think that's how they're going to go in the movies, because no one wants to see a 40-year-old Captain America. It's just not going to work.
But the premise of Cap is that he was became this perfect soldier.
In World War II.
And he survived this long.
He got frozen in a block of ice through the miracle of comic book science, and he gets woken up in the present day.
Okay, with Han Solo.
Yeah.
So,
in Carbonite.
So you think Channing Tatum is somehow a better actor?
No.
Just because he's bigger.
No.
He looks and has more of the type of a vibe.
He is a good-looking guy, don't get me wrong.
Here's the deal.
I thought he was
here's
hot.
My premise. I mean, here's my, I don't know what you say, my argument for Channing Tatum.
Okay.
I do not know how good this guy can act at all. I haven't seen anything this guy has done.
And everything he's done, I mean...
He did the Step Up movies
soldiers.
Or something.
He's played soldiers, though.
Yeah. Now, here's the deal. Perfect look. He looks exactly like Captain America. And I think, as far as I'm concerned, all the girls, this will be the first comic book movie that girls will see based on the guy who's playing the role. As opposed to Iron Man and all these other things, people will go see Captain America if Channing Tatum is in it. Girls. Now, so he looks exactly like Captain America. He's the perfect, like, soldier person. You know, he's a model.
He needs to be handsome, but not, like, too pretty.
No, but I
don't
think he is. I think he's, like, he's not like a Johnny
Depp.
He's, like, manly.
Yes.
He's very manly. Now, as far as acting, I hear he's competent, but maybe he's not, he doesn't have that over-the-top...
Because Captain America should have a vibe a little bit like Christopher Reeve.
Mm-hmm.
He's the ultimate good guy. He's very noble. It's almost like that To Kill a Mockingbird. He's macho, and he's cool, and he's tough, but he, like... You know, he doesn't drink, he listens to old records, like, he is the man that will always do the right, noble, heroic thing.
The characters are surrounding Cap, though. Can he be the straight man and everybody else be kind
of
crazy?
Sort of. That's kind of, in the Avengers,
I think Channing Tatum is perfect.
I mean, Captain America has wit about him, he's not like a stuck in the mud, but he is the straight, he's almost like Jack Bauer, but a little bit lighter-hearted than Jack Bauer.
I think Channing Tatum is so perfect for this role.
I don't think he's going to get it, though.
He might not, but I think he's so perfect for this role that I made in Photoshop him to look like Captain America, and the picture is up on our Twitter,
Facebook
and
Twitter
and stuff, and you can check it out.
Producer Mike's photo.
And we will send this now to Joe Quesada. who has talked to Tony in the
Joe
past.
Joe Quesada has emailed me many times in the past, as he often emails to frequent fans and people who write in to
He just likes to talk to Tony. He just emails him out of the blue.
And we interviewed
him. What do you think about this?
Yeah, relationship advice, you know.
Yeah, Joe, I want to break up with my girlfriend. Like, what do you think? No, we also interviewed him for the Action Room at the midnight
and
opening.
I knew him back in the day for, you know, when I was an artist and stuff like that. When I was an artist.
Yes. So anyway, we'll see. It's very interesting. We talked about this earlier. It's been 2.5 days now since day 3 on Captain America Watch. It's been 2.5 days now since Chris Evans was offered the role.
Tony is now neutral.
He's like a bull, but I don't know if he has the presence the vibe to play Captain America. He could play Steve Rogers when he's not Captain, because this is the big thing. Steve Rogers, it's almost like Peter Parker. Pre-Captain America transformation, Steve Rogers is a skinny weakling, but he has the heart and soul of Superman.
Right.
He's a good guy, he's a noble, not goody-two-shoes, but he could be seen as a goody-two-shoes by some. All he wants to do is join the army and fight the Nazis, and he's rejected. He's given what they call not a Section 8, but something, because he's too skinny and too frail, and all he wants to do is go fight Hitler and serve his country like an honorable patriot.
How about this? I got a compromise. Chris Evans plays Steve Rogers before Captain America. Channing Tatum plays him afterward. Right. There you go.
For me, I picture him being older looking. So
well,
all of them
you're not going to get that, no matter what you think.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, no matter how much you like older men, it's not going to happen. Okay. All right.
So that's the ongoing.
We went way out.
What a guy from like Wall Street, you know?
Yeah, Michael Douglas as Captain America.
That's the ongoing Captain America saga. We'll keep you up to date.
Yeah, we went on way too long for that. But the big news, drum roll. Let's have a drum roll, please.
Okay, producer Mike came to me the other day. He emailed me and said, did you know, Tony, and this is something that I did not know at fucking all, that James Lipton of Inside the Actors Studio, famous weird bearded guy with that voice who Will Ferrell plays on Saturday Night Live.
What are your, the questions he asks, what are they called?
What's your favorite swear
word? They come
word?
From something.
They're inspired by some famous interviewer who I've never heard of, anyway. But I need to educate myself on because I want to learn everything. Anyway. James Lipton, this was up on the website Film Drunk, which is a reputable website, filmdrunk.com. It is claimed and it is verified that James Lipton composed and wrote the lyrics to the Thundercats cartoon theme song.
What?
Let's just let our minds be blown. Can we have a mind-blowing sound effect?
That was my mind blowing.
My mind is here. I emailed producer Mike back because we exchanged like 800 emails all day about this show, and I said, "Are you sure that's true? Are you sure that's
real?" It's on
real?
His IMDb page. Now Jennifer doesn't give a shit, but this is kind of like, hold on. This is what if you had found out? I'm trying to think of something
that the
like
Sailor Moon theme.
I was gonna say
was composed by Gwen Stefani.
I would be like,
but it's not even Gwen Stefani.
By Beyonce.
Nobody musical.
By someone
that's
less,
the thing.
Yeah.
It's got to be somebody like
who
Pee Wee Herman.
Who's not musical.
You know?
No, it has to be a girl for her.
Yeah.
If you found out the Sailor Moon was composed
like Catherine Bigelow did the
Oprah.
Sailor Moon theme.
Catherine Bigelow or how about like Liv Tyler? I'd be like, whoa!
Yeah, exactly.
Liv Tyler composed
the
Sailor
Moon
theme.
Okay, so that whoa is exactly what we're feeling.
I know.
Feeling
okay,
there.
I understand.
Anyway,
now.
my goal in life. Just so you know now,
yes.
is to get Lipton to do the Thundercats theme.
To sing the Thundercats theme song.
For the Action Room.
On camera or on audio.
That is my goal. And with that...
So I'm looking at my files here, my papers.
I'm about to glaze my donut on Jennifer's eyeballs.
I know, like this.
Wow. Okay. So thanks very much for listening.
What does that mean? I look sleepy?
No. When your eyes
are described as glazed, it means that you look like you're zoning out.
You're
ready
to go
to sleep.
Or high, yes.
Or high, yes.
Okay, anyway, go.
So listen to our next episode in 4 days, and thanks for listening. I'm Tony Wolf.
Think you got it?
Producer Mike.
Awesome.